We are in the beginning of the year of Mark. However, on this weekend, the church's tradition has been to use the Gospel from John to give the account of the calling of the first apostles. It is also the public statement and recognition from John the Baptist of recognizing who Jesus is. And so it dovetails very powerfully with the first reading from 1 Samuel, which is the call of Samuel. It's very difficult to escape the theme for the readings, the majority of the readings this weekend, but they are actually brought together in the second reading. And I'll come back to that just in a moment. But firstly, let's have a little look at Samuel. The name means kind of a gift from God or of God. Samuel's mother was Hannah, and she was one of two wives that her husband Elkiah had. And the other wife was very productive when it came to having children. Hannah had no children. And so she went to the temple and she prayed. Then the temple was a tent. And she prayed that God might bless her with a child, because wife number two, who had all the kids, kept giving Hannah a hard time, and it used to break her spirit. So Hannah prayed that she would not have her spirit broken and would be able to have a child, a son. And she said, if I have a son, I will give my son to you. She ended up having a son, and that son was Samuel. And so after she had weaned Samuel, we read in the historical text, she took him back to where she had prayed, and she handed him over to Eli, who was the priest in charge of the tent, the tabernacle. You could say temple, but it wasn't really a temple at that stage. So this is the period in between before the great prophets and before the kings. It's in that middle period there in high history. So there were the various tribes of Israel. Samuel, as it turned out, and keep in the mind that he was called by God, by his name. So, as it turned out, Samuel's call led to much more. He is one of the few characters in the Hebrew Bibles who was given over to God, who he became a priest. He anointed the first two kings that united the tribes of Israel. He anointed Saul, and then he anointed David. He was recognized as a great prophet. So Samuel wore many hats. And keep that in mind when we think about answering the call. When I say yes, this is what I believe I'm asked to do, it will come with perhaps strings attached, but it will certainly come with wider or broader responsibilities as well. And that's nearly always the case. If you want to doubt what I'm saying there, talk to any religious who follow the spirit of their founder or foundress, and it might have been, say, in the Mercy tradition, particularly to do with education, with Catherine McCauley in Bagot Street, really wanting to make a change in poor people's lives in terms of education and then ultimately in healthcare as well. Now, and I could ask one of the good sisters who's here tonight, but I'm not going to embarrass her. But when we say yes to becoming a religious sister or a brother or a priest, that yes is the initial Samuel call. And then as the years unfold, like Samuel, there's all sorts of responsibilities. And poor sister, who I know is having a little smirk at the moment, ends up being in charge of all of the sisters in her particular area. That wasn't in the fine print when she said, yes, God, I'd like to be a religious sister of mercy. Some of the responsibilities that I have picked up, simply being the parish priest here and working with committees through the Archdiocese, they were never in the fine print when I went off to seminary. Coming here into the church this afternoon, this evening, to prepare for Mass, and I checked things out, vacuuming out the confessional, wiping the magpie business cards off the seat out the front of the church, picking up the dead blowflies on the windowsill, was not in the fine print when I said yes. When you said yes to getting married, for those of you who have accepted the vocation of marriage, you did not have in the fine print, I will put the garbage out on time and I will bring the bin in. And when you had children, your children never got a chance to read the fine print, and that's probably why they leave their clothes lying on the floor. And you have to pick them up until you have taught your children to take responsibility for their clothes. None of that is in the fine print. People answering the call to enter into marriage are primarily focused at that time, it seems to me, on issues of the heart, not issues of the hands or issues of the head. That comes to us as we start to live out the call. And living out the call, no matter what it might be, as a single person, married or religious, it comes with great challenges. For married couples, you know that not every day is a honeymoon. We know that. And because not every day is a honeymoon, we therefore know that within the marriage or answering the call to enter into marriage, there comes with it the opportunity for great forgiveness, the opportunity for great healing, the opportunity for a great sense of listening, talking less and listening. That's the same in the religious life, and I think it's the same in the single life as well. However, with marriage, you are in a love contract, which we call a covenant, which you have to face every day. And that has its challenges. In the religious life, we very often are asked to do things that we really don't want to do. We are asked to live with people who we really don't want to live with. For those of you who are married, you made the choice with some kind of background, I guess. You know, and I mean, don't come to me telling me you hate the fact that she squeezes the toothpaste tube in the middle. All incidental, all of that stuff. And for single people, it may well be that they long for that companion in life, and that has not yet come to them. And there are people who dedicate their entire life to a consecrated life of virginity, for example. And they take the second reading extremely seriously. It is not as common in this millennium as what it was in times past. But there are women and men who actually consecrate their whole life to a life of serving the Lord in the single and celibate state, yet without entering into religious life. Vocation, which comes from the word call, vocare means to call, the word vocation, it comes with all sorts of challenges. It comes in all sorts of flavours and colours and dimensions, and it's lived out in all sorts of ways. When Jesus walks past John, we're told that John stared or looked at him hard. And then Jesus moves away. He takes Andrew with him, and then Andrew goes and gets his brother, Simon Peter, and then Jesus, we're told, looks at him hard, or stared at him hard is the actual language. For those of us who enter into, say, religious life or into marriage or make a conscious decision to live the single life, the staring hard bit, we don't often think about, I don't think. We don't often think about the fine print. We don't often look beyond the romance of what it is I'm saying yes to. Beyond the romance, there is some fairly challenging stuff. And that might be the reason why John, the evangelist, puts the call of and the changing of the name of Simon Peter right at the beginning of Jesus' mission. So for the evangelists who write the other scripture, the other gospels, the call comes later, but John puts it right at the beginning, and he uses very powerful language that involves the senses, things like the sight and listening. Very important. So I think in answering a vocation, whatever it might be, with whatever challenges, it is our senses that we probably need to fine-tune more than our head and more than our heart. We bring our senses, our head and our heart together in our body. And St. Paul says in the second reading that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So individually, you are a temple. Collectively, we are a mighty temple. What was Samuel's task in life initially? He served in the temple. This is the days before the temple was even built. The Ark of the Covenant was kept in a tent at a place called Shiloh, about 20 kilometres north of Jerusalem. The temple wasn't built until sometime later. Samuel spent his life in the temple. His whole learning about what life is about came through the temple experience. And when he eventually had children himself, those two sons of his abused that privilege. So this holy man who became a priest and a prophet and the anointer of kings, he wanted to pass his vocation, his call on to his children. They did not respect that. So historically, as we answer the call, it might be worth us remembering that with the call that we have answered, there are challenges. Sometimes those challenges are not respectful, particularly if they are people that we may have bred ourselves, our children or our grandchildren. We have to see beyond that. We have to take our temple beyond that, and we have to leave the doors of our temple, which is our heart and our eyes and our ears, we have to leave that open to at least be respectful and know that those whom we love, who don't see the world or understand God the way that we do, that they are welcome in this temple, collectively among us. They may choose to answer their call differently at the moment. Our task, like Samuel's, like Andrew's, like John the Baptist, like Simon Peter's, is to keep coming back and keep opening the doors and tell the rest of the world that we are open for business. We are not interested in judgment. We're not interested in assessing people, how good or bad they are. We are simply interested in honouring the creation of my temple individually and the creation of this temple, the church, collectively. So within that, there is a responsibility for each and every one of us, no matter whether we're this high or this high, no matter what gender we are, there is a role. No matter what age we are, there is a role. There is something that we can do to contribute to building up this temple in our time and leaving it better than when we found it. No blowflies, no Maggie doo-doo, magpie doo-doo on the seats out the front. It is simply a matter of keeping our eyes and our ears, our head and our heart open to say, what is God pushing me into? What is he calling me into? And I pray this year that you will be able to say gently with those whom you love most, here I am, Lord. I come to do your will.